Well, here we are again. I'm coming to you with the second in our series, the Christmas playlist. And this is the message that came from the candlelight service on Sunday the 19th in the evening. Here we considered Zechariah's song. This is a part of the Christmas story that perhaps people are less familiar with. It doesn't always feature in the classic sort of nine carols and readings. And yet, nonetheless, is an important part of the Christmas story, and I think has quite a lot to teach us. So we're reading here from Luke chapter 1 and verses 5 to 25 to begin with. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at his right side, the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." I'm going to just give you a few first lines of songs and see if you can tell me how they conclude. "When I get older," yeah, losing my hair. "What's love got to do with it?" "I'm not in love, so don't forget it." "I can feel it coming in the air tonight." Okay, so these songs are from past generations, and some of the younger listeners will be lost. But you see, every dog has its day, so to speak. But if we're honest, for some of us, we feel that our day is past. We feel that we are no longer the trendsetters. We remember when our parents seemed old-fashioned, but now we are the ones struggling to keep up with the latest movements and certainly the latest technology. For Zach and Liz, they must have felt that their day had passed, certainly in terms of having children of their own. But actually, their day had just come in a number of ways. Firstly, for Zechariah as a priest, it was finally his turn. He was chosen by lot for that once in a lifetime experience to go into the Holy of Holies in the inner temple to light incense. Was it mere chance that the lot fell on him on that occasion? I think not. It was God's plan for him to enter the Holy of Holies and to have that experience of the angel. God saw to it that he was there for that time. He could certainly feel it coming in the air that night. Now, we considered Mary's miraculous pregnancy this morning. A virgin conceiving a child through God. But here was a second incredible pregnancy that was going to take place. Elizabeth too, her time had come, despite her advanced years, to have a baby. Zach and Liz had never been able to have children. They were well advanced. But before the angel Gabriel visited Mary, he met Zechariah right here in the temple as he went about these special duties. And the angel told him that his wife would become pregnant and that they would have a son, and that his name was to be John, and that he would have the task of preparing the people for the coming Messiah. This child would be the warm-up act, if you like, for Jesus coming, the main event. Well, poor old Zach, he found it hard to believe, didn't he? And because of his unbelief, he was struck dumb until the point where the child was born, unable to utter a single word. Finally, this barrier was broken. Zechariah not only spoke, but he actually was able to express a song of praise to God. And that song is found in verse 68 of Luke chapter 1. I'll read from verse 67. His father, John's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he has said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child," speaking of John, "will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. If you or I had to choose a couple of words out of that song to pick up as significant, I wonder what we would choose. Well, for me, the two words that immediately jump out off the page are these. The first one is come. God has come to save his people. And that actually is what the name Emmanuel means. God with us. God is in the neighborhood, if you like. And so we need to ask why. Why has he come? Well, the second word there that we see is this: praise be to the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. Redeem. This is the reason why Jesus has come, to redeem us. This is the expressed purpose. And if we're ever really to understand what Christmas is all about, we have to understand what it means for Jesus to come to redeem us, or to be our redemption. Around 1500 years earlier, the Israelites had been stuck in Egypt. They were subject to Pharaoh. They were made his slaves. But God released the Israelites through a series of plagues. And the last plague was the worst. The eldest son in each family was going to die throughout the nation of Egypt. But God provided safety, or redemption, of Jewish children, the eldest Jewish children, through the death of a lamb. A lamb was killed and eaten, and the blood of the lamb was put on the lintels and the doorposts of the homes in which each of these eldest Jewish children lived. And when the angel of death passed over, he saw the blood, and so these children were preserved. And Pharaoh decides, therefore, to let the children of Israel go. They escape through the Red Sea to their freedom. And God has redeemed his people through a sacrificial lamb. 1500 years later, Zechariah understands that God is again about to send a redeemer to his people. This time it is the Lamb of God. This time it's not an animal, but it is God's own son. No wonder John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb. And when he is fully grown and Jesus approaches him as a man, John the Baptist will say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And you see, Zechariah here recognizes that God is coming to redeem his people all over again, not from enslavement in Egypt, but to free people from the consequences of their sin. Looking at verse 76 onwards, he declares this plainly: "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." And verse 79, "to guide our feet into the path of peace." Sin is not a popular word, but the Bible doesn't hold back. Sin is everything within us that is opposed to God's will. Sin is when we choose to go our own way rather than God's way. Sin is saying to God personally, "I'm calling all the shots, and you're not going to tell me what to do with my life." But the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all of us have sinned, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark, whether we've missed it by an inch or a mile. We have all failed to live up to God's standards. Our greatest problem is not a lack of education or social skills or even self-esteem. Our greatest problem is our own selfish, sinful selves. And if we're honest, in our more sober moments, we realize that all of us have failed at times. And this sin causes alienation. It causes wars in our world, wars in our homes, wars in our marriages, wars in our relationship with our children. Each time we sin, it affects the lives of those around us. And even more seriously, it cripples our relationship with a holy God. The singer Sting once sang these lines: "Everyone I know is lonely and God so far away, and my heart belongs to no one. So now sometimes I pray, please take the space between us and fill it up some way." And that is the message of Christmas, and indeed the message of Easter too, that God has filled the gap between us and him, a holy God. God has stepped into history to offer a way back to redeem us. Somebody has to pay to make this possible. When I was a lad of about 10, I was playing football in John Ford's front garden, and I put a football clean through his mum's kitchen window. I went home bowed, head bowed in shame. And my dad went to the Fords and he paid for the window. He paid what I couldn't pay. I was in the school yard not very much later when I kicked a ball from the top yard to the bottom, and the ball bounced and it sailed again straight through the window of the school, sending glass the full length of the classroom as far as the piano at the other end. It was cleared up, but my dad went to the school and offered to pay. I don't know if he had to pay, but someone had to pay. I didn't have the means to pay. And it's the same with our sin. We don't have it within us to save ourselves. Someone has to pay for our sin. Wrong has been done, hurts have been caused, God's standards have been broken, and someone has to pay. And that's the message of Zechariah's song, that Jesus has come to pay, to redeem us, so that we can know him, that we can have a relationship with God the Father restored if we accept him. Jesus came because actually we're drowning in our sin. It's like we're miles from shore. It's like he turns up in a lifeboat and reaches out to us. He doesn't say to us, I'm here, but you just need to swim a little bit harder. You can get there yourself. You can get yourself out of this mess. No, he's not doing that. No, he's coming alongside us and he's reaching out a hand to us. And if we grab his hand, he will pull us on board. He is our rescuer and our redeemer. So as he comes this Christmas and reaches out to you, grab his hand. Make him your saviour, your redeemer and your Lord. And live then in the gratitude of knowing what he has done for you. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people to redeem them. Do you need God? I hope you understand that you do. And I hope you see the wonder of this Christmas time, that this is how God came to rescue you, through his son, who came as a baby, but who came ultimately to die on a cross. I pray that you are trusting him this Christmas, and that you know the joy of his salvation. Well, bless you. I hope to be doing the last two in this series, the angel's song and then Simeon's song on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. So I hope you'll be able to join me for those messages to come. I trust you and your family have a very blessed Christmas, and that you have that joy in Jesus Christ, who has come to be your Redeemer. Amen.